Welcome back to The Wellness Breakdown with me, Eve Kalinic.
And me, Rose Ferguson.
This is our podcast where we examine and test out the latest health trends and find out if they actually work.
We have so many people coming into our practice and asking us about the next best thing. So we thought we'd put our money where our mouth is and take on some of these challenges and report back to you.
So far in this series, we've seen DJ Fat Tony get off the white stuff, aka sugar.
I've discovered how not to think about not thinking in 2 weeks of meditation.
And I've struggled through a 3-day juice fast.
Oh, you still sound traumatised after that, Eve.
No, well, a little bit.
But we've also been hearing from you guys in this series, which has been so great. So please keep your emails coming in. If you're trying out a new fad or a way of living, message us on info@thewellnessbreakdown.co.uk.
Yes, we do love to hear from you. And if you've not already subscribed, please do so. It really helps us out.
One of the questions we always get asked is, what supplements do we really need?
Yes, it's true. It can be such a minefield with supplements, many of which we don't actually need at all, or ones that simply don't work.
And this is why we are delighted to have Lima sponsoring this series of the podcast. Lima is in a category of its own when it comes to supplements.
Yes, indeed they are, Rose. Their patented, proven ingredients helps with mood, sleep, performance, mental focus and beauty. And it has 10 different ingredients, most of which you cannot get from food, which means Lima can be an add-on to a balanced diet.
It's actually different to other supplements because they dose at the same levels as clinical trials and it's all absorbed by the body.
The real difference is that they combine proven science and technology to help optimise the human body that sets them apart from most other supplements on the market. So Rose, any early morning walks today?
No, not this morning. But I have been enjoying my walking a little bit more.
Okay, so that challenge did stick a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to say the same's true about my juicer, Rose, but honestly, it hasn't really seen the light of day since that horrific 3 days of having nothing but juice. But we've got a bit of a break, haven't we?
Yeah, we've got a break, exactly. And we've got another guest on the podcast. Yeah, we're joined by the wonderful writer, Kate Spicer. Welcome to the Wellness Breakdown, Kate.
I'm looking forward to breaking down on your wellness podcast.
Well, you know, that does happen sometimes. But no, thanks a lot for signing up to this. We really appreciate it.
Okay.
So I wanted to try out one of these many health gadgets for this podcast. And I thought you'd be the perfect person. I know that you're really interested in health, and you really are, actually, I mean, but on a very scientific level.
Right.
You might have heard of a glucose monitor, a continuous glucose monitor, CGM.
Oh, like a diabetic one.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what it is. I use it all the time in clinic. It's really useful, not only for diabetics, but also it's just really useful for people to learn how their body responds, how their insulin's working, what gives them a huge spike of blood glucose, you know, their blood sugar levels to go really high. And what doesn't. And everyone's really different.
Mm.
And also you can start looking at the combinations of food that tend to blunt a blood sugar spike. So even I have both used one with different results, which is interesting. And it just shows how unique everybody is. And then not all foods react the same in the same people.
Can I ask how you had different results?
Yeah, I mean, we had different results on different days. So even eating the same foods, depending on the combination of the foods, depending on how stressed one is or tired one is, that can also impact on how your blood sugar levels are responding as well. So even like day dependent, it might differ.
Right.
I mean, I was quite interested to see that having like my beloved croissant with a coffee.
A croissant?
We have badasses on this show.
Did spike my my blood sugar levels, but then on another day, I had exactly the same thing, but not the same response. So it is interesting. Like, there's a lot of, I think, factors that interplay with how our blood sugar levels respond day to day, even.
Yeah.
Okay.
Things like exercise in the morning, that will help a sugar spike come along my way, and stress. So there's lots of things at play, and cortisol and insulin have a nice little interaction going.
So this CGM could potentially make exercise look like a bad thing?
Well, no, but you do have it. You have a stress response to exercise. You know, we know that. And that will show up as a blood sugar spike, or you can see your blood sugar levels going up because the cortisol is pushing it.
Where the cortisol's high, blood glucose levels remain high, which triggers the insulin response. So it'd be interesting to see when you're monitoring this, whether that correlates as well. Like if you've had a particularly stressful day, whether that's going to impact on your blood sugar levels, because spikes in our blood sugar levels are actually kind of normal. It's more to do with how quickly we can get our blood sugar levels back into that normal range as well. So it's kind of looking at the two.
And also what's caused it.
Yeah.
You know, the CGM monitors, when you look at the results, you're like, oh, look, it's really trying so hard to get back into levels, you know, and then you're like, well, if you drink a can of Coca-Cola, you will watch your blood sugar level shoot up and your poor body is going, I need to get this back into control. I need to get this sugar level down.
Oh.
So just so you kind of know, Kate, in case you're not aware, and also for all the listeners, the glucose monitors essentially are kind of round sort of patches that have a needle attached to them. And typically you'd apply that to the top of your arm because that seems to be the easiest way to kind of keep measuring it.
Right.
And then what happens is that those monitors link up to the apps where you're going to be inputting your food.
Okay.
So I really would love you to take this challenge on, young Kate.
Yeah, this will be so, so my thing. I'll be fascinated by it. Hopefully not triggered by it, my old naughty food obsessive ways. I do worry sometimes that things like counting calories
and,
you know, macros, when you're in a keto thing, you just go back to old patterns of quite unhealthy eating behavior that perhaps, you know, you feel like you've grown out of, but they're always there in the back of your mind waiting to pounce.
I'm going to say, as if that did happen, if you did start feeling those, then I would ask you to stop.
It's not going to be bad. I'm totally fine, but I'm always interested in, sometimes when you go peak health, you can start getting a bit obsessive and then you relax a little bit and you're still being healthy. Yeah. But wait, anyway, let's get on with it.
Okay. All right. So we'll get on with it, but we'll be careful around that.
I'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
So the rules are, you have 2 weeks. You can eat as you would. Don't restrict anything. It's just inputting what you've eaten and exercise and things like that. The app you're going to use is called Veri. V-E-R-I.
Yeah.
I found this really useful in clinic because it's not so geared towards diabetes. It's geared more towards, you know, people who haven't been diagnosed with any blood sugar issues. And yeah, it's geared to lifestyle. So you can input any exercise. You can input all the food you eat, the alcohol, if you have a rest.
Yeah.
And it will feed back to you. So good luck.
See you in 2 weeks. Good luck.
I'll see you in 2 weeks.
I have a bit of a problem with this tracker because if I eat a pretty good, balanced, super nourishing meal, like a couple of pieces of really good brown sourdough with cob meat and lots of salad and vegetables, then I get quite a poor meal score. And then if I have a glass of wine and some olives, I get a high meal score. I get like a 10. So if you took all your advice from the app, then you could end up making some quite nutty decisions, I think. Yesterday wasn't a great day. I was extremely tired, a bit hungover, and I was grazing, picking at things, and my blood sugar stayed quite high, around 6 maybe, shooting up to 7 at some times. I'm really convinced that tiredness is probably one of the biggest contributors to bad eating habits there is out there. It's the 8th day of using this Veri sensor and it's been extraordinary. I've been in Italy for just under 24 hours now. I've had 2 quite large meals which have included wine and rice and foie gras and all sorts of things that people will tell you that you shouldn't eat. Bread, obviously. And my blood sugars remained fairly stable around 5.2 to 5.8, sometimes rising above 6, but generally not, which just goes to show that you can have stable blood sugar and have quite an interesting life. You know, once again, the wine thing has really surprised me. I'm not saying this should be validate being an alcoholic, but it is just the sort of stodgy stuff that gives you these huge spikes. And sugars, definitely what the sensor was telling me yesterday for two rather epic meals was, hey, fill your boots, get on with it. I'm still in Italy and having some incredible meals. We started today drinking rosé at about midday and didn't actually sit down to eat anything till nearly 2 o'clock. My blood sugar stayed fairly constant between 5 and 6, with a few peaky bits. What I find annoying is we have these lovely lunches and always in the back of my mind I'm wondering, oh, I wonder what this is doing to my blood sugar levels. I can see that these monitors could be a little bit triggering if you have a bit of a tendency towards an eating disorder. They talk about your blood sugar levels looking like rolling hills rather than mountains. So sort of gentle, steady ups and downs rather than big spiky peaks. And while I've been in Italy eating a lot, drinking quite a lot of wine, but good wine in small quantities, I have had, surprisingly, a lot of rolling hills. But last night I was tired and my digestion was exhausted because I've been eating all day. And I had two really big spikes, one after I drank a martini and one a few hours later when I was in bed. And I was so cold. My temperature just dropped like a stone. I think I need a bit of time off food. I'm absolutely exhausted and definitely a bit of time off wine.
Welcome back. And first of all, I need to apologise for my voice. I don't really know what's happened, but I woke up this morning sounding like this. But we're here, we're back with Kate Spicer, and we gave her a challenge for 2 weeks, but she has ended up using a glucose monitor. Well, she said she's in her 7th week now. So how are you getting on, Kate?
Well, what happened was I had your monitor for 2 weeks and they very kindly sent me another 2 weeks worth. And then I've managed to get my hands on another 2 weeks worth. So I ended up doing 6 weeks.
Okay.
And those first 2 weeks were absolutely amazing for me in some ways, because I realized I could eat really well, like fantastic food.
Amazing.
Because I was traveling quite a lot. I was in Italy and I was in Turkey. And you'd think in Italy it would just be pasta central and I'd spend my whole time in a kind of weird glucose spike, but actually there's masses of oils, there's loads of cheese, there's lots of veggies and this, that and the other, and I didn't get any crazy spikes and I wasn't really sleeping that much either. We were busy, but the one huge takeaway from those first 2 weeks is I am drinking more than I probably should at the moment. It's a bloody habit and I'm trying to break it, but I'm probably drinking between 200 and 500 milliliters of wine a day, right?
Yeah.
And I thought that this will be where the blood sugar monitor really, like, you know, spanks me, because I realize how bad drinking is for you.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm quite fastidious about drinking very, what I would call dry wines, and I suppose light-bodied would be what they'd call it in the wine industry, but dry reds are my go-to, because partly I've reattuned my palate because I know that they're healthier in quotation marks.
Well, no, but they are, they're higher in tannins and polyphenols, so that's not,
yeah, and lower in sugar,
like, incorrect. Yeah.
So now let me tell you, it was mind-blowing. So I was very diligent, and you have this thing on the very thing where you can take a photograph of your meals, because they look at the response on the blood sugar monitor and feed back to you whether you'll get a 10 out of 10 or an 8 or a 9, or I think the lowest I got for any meal was a 6, and my perfect 10s, I aced 10 10 10 10 10 10 10, was a bowl of green olives and a glass of red wine.
There's a lot of polyphenols in both of those. No, I'm joking. But
and good fats in the olives too.
Olives and wine did not give me, it hardly altered my blood sugar.
But that's because you were having the olives with the wine, because the olives will have fibre in it, which slows down the release of the glucose into the bloodstream. But also, it's interesting when you look at how people metabolise alcohol, like one glass of wine can really spike blood sugar levels for one person and not for another. And also, it's about how accustomed our microbes are to wine.
Oh, well, like, my as microbes in, really are.
No, but it's true, though.
Very well acquainted with it.
But with the wine, because we had a bit of a chat whilst you were doing this kind of over the realms of Instagram, didn't we, Kate? So I did look into this, and apparently the reason why blood glucose monitors can actually show a lower reading is that the liver has to metabolise the alcohol first. So that's why sometimes the blood sugar can actually show as lower or remain stable, for instance. So it could be a part of that as well.
So it metabolises the alcohol before it processes the sugar?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a head fuck. That's blown my mind, girl. Sorry for using a swear.
You can swear.
There's no children listening.
I love the fact that the olives and wine give you a 10, perfect score.
Yeah,
perfect score. But what have you noticed about what is constantly peaking your blood sugar? What foods have you noticed, or have you noticed?
I think it's quite obvious what gives you horrible blood sugar responses, and it's generally white carbs. I'm not really a sweet person, so as a couple of times I've had a piece of cake and it's gone spiked. But the worst and most depressing spike I think I saw was 3 slices of white toast with Marmite with no butter, because I had no butter. And it got a score of about 1, I think.
I wonder if you put cucumber on there, it would slow the absorption.
Cucumber or cheese. Cheese would be better, wouldn't it?
Or butter.
A bit of fibre.
Yeah, or butter. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's
true. What I've also noticed is my blood sugar response has become much more spiky and chaotic when I'm tired. Just my body not being well slept means it cannot process sugar as well. So the same meal will spike higher and drop quicker if I'm knackered or if it's a day after a bit of a sesh on booze or...
Yeah, but that also could be a link with cortisol levels, though, because if you're not sleeping, and we know cortisol actually affects blood sugar levels, so it could be that.
Right.
I just want to talk to you about something that you mentioned in your voice notes, because I'm aware as a nutritionist and functional medicine practitioner, when I work with people about dysfunctional eating, it's something that's always on my mind about triggering. We've done things where we've looked at fitness trackers and trackers for macronutrients.
Yeah.
How did you find this? Because you mentioned it in the beginning about, it triggering behaviour patterns that might not
old
be...
Old habits.
Old habits, exactly.
Well, I'm a journalist and I am always kind of slightly observing. So I don't think I could be triggered in a really immense way. Like, I did a documentary on Channel 4 in the late noughties about doing extreme diets, and that was so triggering. I did the Beyonce's method, which was that lemonade diet, which is just cayenne pepper. Yeah. And I went on that diet, I became very hungry, and I just went back into bulimic patterns, and I hadn't really been there for a decade.
Oh.
So I am very cognizant of when things trigger me and when things make me neurotic about food. Mm. And I kind of knew this would a little bit, it would make me a bit panicky, but it wasn't that, I was a little bit aware of it. I probably wouldn't put it on an anorexic, for example.
No. I think that's important to note, isn't it, that these things are not really meant for that at all.
I could feel the old residues, the old synaptic kind of messaging systems that are like, oh, you need to watch what you're eating, so you can't eat that, but therefore you'll eat loads of it later. I could sort of see them stirring, but, you know, I'm in my 50s now and I've got a bit of control over that beast, and it does have a slightly triggering potential. Mm. And that annoys me about these things, because A, they're in the hands of amateurs like me, and I'm a kind of relatively clued up amateur, but I am fundamentally a complete amateur. And also, they are not a complete picture, because if my wine and olives can get me 10, and yet this incredible meal I made with sourdough and beautiful homemade pesto and you know, a bit of roast lamb, shitloads of salad and olive oil and apple cider vinegar. I mean, you couldn't look at a healthier meal. Yeah. Only got me a 7.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I want to throw it out the window, because it's not teaching me anything useful. But I think if you've got a bigger picture of your diet, then I think it has its role to play. But I think on its own, it would slightly worry me.
It's kind of getting into that moralistic values around food, isn't it? Like, by looking at the monitor, you're like, that's a good food, that's a bad food, and sort of seeing it as black and white without a much more nuanced conversation around it.
Yeah, and that moralistic side, worryingly, just sort of endorsed my evening boozing if I had some olives with it. And actually, my drinking is, I do drink too much. You know, I'm not a woman who's sat up at midnight slugging down wine, and but I do drink too much. And the app simply did not highlight that. So in a way, it enabled my behaviour.
Yeah, I've always really liked the app, especially the Very app was really good because it was very readable and digestible, our favourite part.
I did enjoy it.
But it is true that actually the readings you get, you know, if you just take them as that's it, that's what is true, they might be sending people off on the wrong way in some ways. When I use it with clients, they go away and then they come back to me and we go through what we can see.
But also, it's also just so surface level. It's just looking at how you react to foods when actually there's a whole lot of other things that we know affect our blood sugar levels, like our gut health, you know.
Yeah, but I suppose there's a guide for people who have no idea about what triggers a blood sugar result. Then maybe.
But do you really need a monitor to tell you, Rose, that like eating cakes and biscuits and stuff?
Some people, I think, really don't have.
Some people do.
Yeah, okay. Maybe.
You know, and also just the extent of the spike is quite something. Whenever I've done it, you're like, wow, that's amazing.
But the other thing, towards the end of my usage, I started working on some challenges of trying to eat many, many more vegetables. And I cut out some of the stodgy, not potatoes and things like that, but I'm eating a lot less bread and masses more vegetables and huge diversity of vegetables. And I had imagined that that would give me quite big blood sugar peaks, but actually it's really leveled it out.
Are you going to be like, because you've had it on now for like 7 weeks, I wonder, are you going to miss it?
I know, the suntan mark's hilarious.
Oh, right, okay.
I don't know, I'm getting a little bit bored of it now, because you have to log the food, you know, it's a bit of a fad.
Yeah.
What I wanted was a proper regime change in my eating habits. That and forcing myself to eat like wider variety of plants. It has taught me quite a lot, actually.
That's great.
But I think it needs to be done in conjunction with other things.
Yeah.
In isolation, it's a bit weird and random.
Yeah.
And makes you feel like you can drink as long as you have olives.
I think that's the big take home out of this. You can drink as much as you like, as long as you have some olives.
I'm going to get some t-shirts made.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like there's a whole merchandising line you could take with that tagline.
Yeah, never mind the Beyonce diet.
Oh, Kate, thank you so much for coming. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you.
Yes, been brilliant.
Oh, I love the banter with you two, always.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
You know, I do love our guests. I think she was a great one.
She was brilliant. So dedicated to the cause. I mean, she actually even took the challenge like weeks longer than we asked her to, Rose, right?
I know.
But no, so many interesting things to dig into. And we're all about a holistic health approach, really, and talking about myriad factors to health and well-being. So these things are really interesting, but they are just one part of a bigger picture, isn't it?
Yeah, they are.
I think she reflected that massively.
Okay, so now thinking about the next one, it's you in the hot seat again, dear Eve.
Right. Any clues, Rose?
Well, I actually think you're going to like this one. I don't feel at all bad giving it to you. It is a little bit painful.
Okay.
I think you're going to like it.
Well, I'm very much intrigued for this one, and hopefully it will be one that I actually enjoy, Rose.
Yes. Okay, until then, thank you for listening to The Wellness Breakdown. Remember, if there are any new fads you've tried or something you'd like us to explore, email us at info@thewellnessbreakdown.co.uk.
Yes, and if you enjoyed this podcast, please share it or just tell your friends, and make sure you do subscribe.
Yay, have a lovely week, everyone.